time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. It is Monday, June 17th, 2019. It's good to have you with us. Of course, we only mentioned the date because many of you listen on a downloaded basis, but we're live across the country, I guess across the globe, reaching you wherever there is an internet connection. So thank you for tuning in. Well, actually, internet and cell phone. You can dial a cell phone. You can listen to us many ways, as many of you do. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. And we are grateful to have you as our listener. Again, our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. This last week, I was at the Housing Wires Engage Marketing Conference. Wow, was that a powerful conference. And I got to be with some people that were part of the Industry Syndicate. You go check out industrysyndicate.com. And it's a community of us that are doing podcasts. And it is such a fun group. Jason Frazier, Josh Pitts, Dustin, and of course, Phil Treadwell and his wife, Stacy. I mean, it was just a group of us that had got together at the conference. You know, they referred me as the old man of the group, the pioneer. It's fun. We've been doing this for over 10 years. It's fun to see some new folks coming in to the podcasting scene. Today, we're doing a Father's Day special. Yesterday was Father's Day. I hope you all that were listeners had a great Father's Day. We had a great time here in Central Texas. We've been dealing with some rain. I'm doing this podcast live from Corpus Christi, which is down in the Gulf of Mexico. I'm going to be going into a quiet meeting later on. And so we're doing this from my cell phone through the miracle of all this connectivity. I did an interview with Neil Cavuto when I was in Charlotte on Thursday. It was fun to do that interview. We were talking about interest rates dropping. Why are more people, Neil asked me, why are more people not refinancing? And I said, well, honestly, interest rates were down at these levels not that long ago. But life events are also causing people to want to refinance that may have already. We were talking about that. And I said, for example, my daughter's getting married in January. And I'm thinking as I'm saying this, I'm going, oh my gosh, I'm going to be embarrassing my daughter and her fiance talking on national television about their upcoming wedding. But it actually worked out real well. So who knows what's going to come out of the family discussion today. But we have with us the George family, Chris George, the chairman of the MBA, serving our community of mortgage lenders across the nation. I caught up with Chris while he was traveling through the airport. I think Chris was in Chicago traveling to Puerto Rico. He had just come from parts unknown, but we're so grateful for his leadership that he's bringing to our industry through the MBA, as well as being the founder and president and CEO of CMG Financial, one of the top mortgage lenders in our nation, doing some of the most innovative things. And so, if you know anything about the George family, Chris believes in family, and he has four sons, and we have all four of them on the line and on the podcast today, and it's going to be a Father's Day special. So we're going to have a great time talking with Chris and his four sons. It's like we did the Mitch Kider podcast, Father's Day, a few years back, and it was Mitch and my three sons. Well, today we've got Chris and his four sons, AJ, Phil, Harrison, and Adam. So you'll be enjoying that hot topic. Stay tuned all the way to the end of it. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Black Knight. Today's competitive market, it's so critical that lenders deliver decision quality business intelligence into the right employees at the right time. Black Knight developed an actionable intelligence platform that delivers data that drives growth and reduce costs. I'm telling you, folks, you got to check this out at blackknightinc.com. You need to be checking out what Black Knight is doing, especially with the data that they have, and empower your people to produce more and do so at a lower cost. Also want to say a special thank you to Open Mortgage, one of our podcast sponsors. Open Mortgage is the leading reverse mortgage lender in the nation, home of some of the top LOs. Of course, Chris George might argue that they have some pretty good LOs over there at CMG, and I know that for a fact. Also, I want to say a special thank you to Finastra. Their Fusion Mortgage Bot solution automatically addresses compliance issues while delivering enhanced borrower satisfaction, increased productivity, and greater market share. And our newest sponsor, Resex Warehouse Lending, a division of United Bank. grateful for them, as well as Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative. Both of these collaboratives are co-ops that allow you to have up-close personal connections with vendors and lenders in your community. So good to know what's going on with your counterparts at other companies. Check out both of these excellent co-op organizations, Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative. Pleased to be a part of both of them. And finally, Velma, Knowledge Coop. Grateful to have both of these as sponsors, as well as Vidyard. There we go. And of course, we have as our final group, Alice, Andy, Alan, and Joe. So good to have you all with us. Let's start off with a quick word from Rob Van Rapport of the MBA with today's Mortgage Minute. Rob?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Rapport. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, Ginnie Mae published a report on the progress of its 2020 white paper. The 2020 white paper included key objectives Ginnie Mae is aiming to achieve. These objectives include technological improvements, innovation to further loan level capabilities, and enhanced counterparty risk management policies. Also last week, the FHFA published its yearly report to Congress. The report provided details on the agency's activities over the past year. It also noted that there is an urgent need for Congress to act on housing finance reform. And finally, last week, the House Financial Services Committee passed the National Flood Insurance Program Reauthorization Act of 2019. This bill reauthorizes the program for 5 years and recommends various reforms. The bipartisan bill was passed unanimously by the committee and now goes to the floor of the House for a vote. President Trump recently signed a $19.1 billion disaster aid bill that included a four-month extension of the National Flood Insurance Program until September 30th, 2019. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining me.
Appreciate our partnership with the MBA. And while you're at their website, be sure to check out Mortgage Action Alliance. You do not have to be a member of the MBA to have your voice be heard. They've done an outstanding job of allowing you to communicate on important issues. First of all, they make you aware of them. And second of all, is you're able to just click a few buttons and have your voice heard. It's so important that you be a part of this. If you consider yourself a mortgage professional, first of all, you need to be a member of the MBA. But second of all, at least get involved with Mortgage Action Alliance. You know, we talk about the digital business card. I'm not going to take the time to talk about it this time. But if you're not using a digital business card, get rid of those paper cards. They don't work. Go to the top of our website in the upper right-hand corner. Download and watch the video. Watch what you can do with a digital business card. I've handed out my card now to the point where it has duplicated itself out into the market. I have over 23,000 connections with my digital business card. And every time someone opens it up, I get a notification. I know they're talking. They're looking at it. They're looking at the licking cards. All right, won't play on that word anymore. Let's go over to Les Parker. Macro view of the markets. Les is the TM Spotlight. He is back from his travels in Europe. I'm excited to hear what he has for us this week. Les?
LoanLogic sponsors TM Spotlight Soundbite. G4 created a Frankenstein. How did they do it? They used excess liquidity, leaving markets calm. The advanced economies remain trapped in excess debt. Rather than allowing the free markets to work by repricing, the G4 flooded fixed income markets with liquidity. The G4 wet blanket policy led to low volatility across global financial markets and inflated equity markets. It may sound like nirvana, but it creates a vast uncertainty because markets do not function normally. Risk capital focuses on short-term strategies rather than long-term. Emerging markets become vulnerable to rapid shifts in capital flows. Which emerging market will become the next Frankenstein? These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Hell yeah, don't even get me started on Fed policy, especially what is going on over at ECB over there in Europe, the European Central Bankers. Anyway, yep, what can we say about that? Good job. Joe Farr, good to have you with us, dialed in. Last week you were dialed in from the Home Depot parking lot. Today I'm dialed in from the Starbucks parking lot down here in Corpus. Good to have you with us, Joe.
Oh, good to be here. Thank you. I'm in my office right now, so things are better.
Well, that's good.
I can see where the market is. MBS prices are down just a little bit this morning. It's been a pretty quiet morning. National Home Builder Housing Market Index came out this morning, and it was down a little bit from last month today, but it's still a very good level. It's at 64, which doesn't mean much other than, you know, it's a positive number, and it was 66 before, but all in all, that's a good number. Looking at last week, Dave, mortgage rates rose just a little bit. MBS prices fell 25 basis points during the week. Stocks improved a little bit. During the week, May retail sales came out as well as inflation data. The retail sales data was better than expected. May beat expectations. And the bigger part of that was the weak numbers that were originally reported for April were revised significantly higher. So the 3 months, that's 3 months in a row now with really pretty good retail sales numbers. Good to see. And along with that, it was good to see inflation data that shows that inflation should not be a concern for the Fed, for one. It's showing that the core numbers for both CPI and PPI were a little lower in May than they were in April. You know, that's a good trend for mortgage rates, and we'll see if that's a good trend for the Fed because they are a big part of this week's calendar. So, you know, looking at this week, the Fed meets on Tuesday and Wednesday. They're going to come out with their statement on Wednesday at 2 o'clock Eastern time. Now, that'll be followed by a Fed Chairman Powell press conference. The market really expects no change in the Fed funds rate this month. So the market does expect changes down the road. I'll get to that in just a minute. The market does expect the Fed to revise their policy statement somewhat to indicate a shifting toward rate cuts at future meetings. And I went to the CME Group Fed survey, and it shows almost no expectation for a change this month. But looking at the rest of this year, there are 80% of the people expect at least two rate cuts between now and then. These would be two 25 basis point rate cuts between now and the end of the year, which that would be fairly substantial. Other data that's due on the calendar this month is housing data that comes out tomorrow. May housing starts are expected to hold steady with April at very good numbers, by the way, same for permits. And then the May existing home sales comes out on Friday. And the consensus for that calls for a pretty good increase in home sales. So good housing data pretty much across the board and no significant inflation and, you know, not a lot on the trade front. I know there's more talk about U.S. and China trade tariff wars, and that's unlikely to be a hot topic this week anyway.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see where we have this all go, but I really believe that we're going to see lower rates. This could be a real advantage. What a great year. Sorry if my car is chiming away telling me you better keep me going here to acknowledge it. Sorry for the background noise. I tell you, Joe, when I look at the overall economic data and how bullish this is, what a time to be in mortgage lending. We're very fortunate to be a part of cheering this group of lenders on that survived last year. It was tough for so many lenders. But this year, it's going to be amazing. So appreciate you being here and giving us an update. We'll run over to Scott Gordon of Open Mortgage, who's talking about the science of sales.
Scott Gordon here with a bit of sales science. Are you an authority figure? Behavioral scientists have discovered that people are much more likely to follow a person who is perceived as an expert. There's an important word you may have missed, perceived. Studies have been conducted to prove it. Physical therapy patients are more likely to exercise if their therapist has their degrees or certificates displayed on their wall. People are likely to pay a stranger for access to a parking spot if the stranger is dressed in a uniform. The therapist's credentials carry an air of expertise, while the parking lot officer is more an authority than an expert. The effect is more powerful when a third person introduces the expert. Even if the third party is directly associated with the expert, it doesn't affect perception. A group of realtors found that having their receptionist list each realtor's accomplishments before transferring customers to the realtor, their business increased drastically, 20% increase in appointments, and 15% increase in signed contracts. So ask yourself, how can I structure my connections and referrals so that I'm introduced as the expert? Instead of giving your cell number to every contact, why not use your receptionist like the realtors? Let him or her introduce your expertise and authority. Or use an answering service. They can talk you up before forwarding your now impressed clients. If this sounds too good to be true, it's not. It's just the science of sales.
Yeah, good job. Excellent. Appreciate that very much. Love Scott's commentary and his contributions to the market. You want to hear all of Scott's comments. A lot of people are saying, I'm really dialed into what he's been saying lately and would like to hear more. You can go to our website, Lickin' on Lending. The menu item just to the right of the homepage button is a list of all the podcast segments. You can listen to each one of our contributors and each one of their segments. Alice, it couldn't be here live with us today, but she did get in a segment for us. So, Alice, what you got?
Thanks, Dave. In today's report, I've got quite a few important things that I need to cover. First of all, FHA finally came out and issued their statement that they have said in live events many times that they don't accept borrowers with a C-33 visa, which is our DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival Borrowers. This has always been interpreted that this person isn't going to get kicked out of the country, but they are technically not here on a permanent type of a visa. So they're not considered a lawful status, although at the moment they have a temporary deferment of their deportation. So it's always been a challenge as a lender because we've always interpreted that they're not eligible based on the way FHA phrases everything in their handbook, but some lenders would still do it. And in their defense, some of them had verbals from various parties at FHA that said they could do them. So this has been a big relief as an industry that HUD finally confirmed the DACA recipients are ineligible for an FHA mortgage. Now, in immediate response to that, we have the House Financial Services Committee passing a bill to provide clarity on DACA. So they're trying to push through, this is H.R. 3154, Home Ownership for Dreamers Act. Now, this is just past committee level. This is not past the House on a full House floor vote. That's an important distinction. So certainly it's an important step to get out of committee, that it will move forward to a House floor vote. But I just want to make sure everyone picked up on that as far as where the status of that is today. So, you know, the bill is trying to say that it's eligible, but it stops short of supporting the measure all the way in kind of moving this forward. So it's going to come to the House floor. It'll probably, you know, be difficult to get it through the Senate because we need a majority voting. And in the Senate, of course, they're going to absolutely want to try and get more immigration components attached to this, right? It's almost impossible to get a single goal piece of legislation through our government these days. So that's just a heads up for folks that today we have to go by what FHA is saying, which means that DACA is ineligible for FHA mortgages. But stay tuned. There may be something that actually does make its way through Congress. Now, while we're on the subject of Congress, they are also considering, and again, passing through just the House Financial Services Committee at the same time, was another FHA-impacted piece of legislation. This is H.R. 3141, where they would like to remove the life of loan coverage for MIP, right? They would like to reinstate that the MIP, annual MIP that's collected throughout the life of an FHA loan, would actually be canceled once the loan hits a 78% loan to value. Now, keep in mind, this is going to be through natural amortization. FHA never accepted curtailment payments in that calculation, and it's always going to be solely based on what the original sale price and appraised value were. FHA never in the past accepted a new appraisal. So this is just reinstating the old way of FHA. It's not going to align it still with when PMI cancellation comes into play. So even if this does move forward, I don't see that it has a big impact to our borrowers and even to salespeople when you're trying to do the comparison for someone, right? Okay, we got to get you on an FHA. For now, let's take a look at the math for, you know, your next 5 to 10 years, would it make sense for you to eventually move into a conventional loan? The odds are on a 30-year loan, yep, might still make sense to try and get rid of that MIP. So that is going to be moving its way through. Probably not a lot of objection. We'll watch it closely, but keep in mind that's just past committee. It's not actually been presented on the House floor, so we'll watch that. We're still watching, you know, flood insurance. It's been extended until September 30th, but crossing our fingers that we can get some real meaningful legislation instead of the can still getting kicked down the road. And then last but not least, Ginnie Mae had their RFI that all comments needed to be published by May 31st. So this was Ginnie Mae requesting information about different ways that they could pool loans in order to properly, in their opinion, weigh out the the risk for the VA cash out refinances. So this is very unusual that at the issuer securities level, they're trying to impose something and basically impose rules that would impact one of the products that Ginnie Mae is pulling together. So essentially, it's a lot of the comments that lenders posted were about, hey, can't we just simply wait to see if VA can do something about this? Will we see any improvement in the churning that's been going on with VA loans just simply through some of the changes VA has already made for seasoning requirements? So Ginnie Mae still feels compelled that they may need to do something at their level, looking out for their investors and perhaps developing a different format for securities. So they proposed several different methodology. One of the comments that came back from various agencies, I really did like what the MBA said because they spelled out some of the pricing impact. Credit unions are very concerned that they're going to be hit the hardest because if you pull out VA cash out refis, they don't do a lot of VAs in the first place. It's going to be tough for them to take those high LTV cash out refis, which is most of them, and come up with $1 million for a minimum pool requirement just in that. So smaller lenders are very concerned about any kind of restructuring to put the VA cash out refis at the high LTV, just that small bucket in their own pools. So there's other options that are out there, including up for discussion was even coming up with some kind of mortgage insurance premium that would be tacked on to these higher risk, most likely shorter term loans. So lots of good reading out there if you're interested in what are the possibilities in the secondary market when trying to restructure risk. So there's just some really good lessons in reading what Ginnie Mae wants and reading the MBA's opinion to kind of put those two together for a really good secondary market education lesson. I like that just on its own. So for now, it'll take Ginnie Mae some time to go through all of the comments and see what their next course of action may be. Very often after an RFI, nothing is done. And maybe we'll get the time that we need to see if VA can improve. I would say the number one thing I'd like to see and that a lot of the lenders were commenting on are just simply get better enforcement for the lenders that are causing the churning problems out there in the marketplace. Because there is a belief that that is a certain types of lenders and certain groups of lenders that are really causing the problems. And if there was more enforcement on that side, then Ginnie Mae may be, would there be an improvement in the market simply on that? I think like anything, you can't arrest people or fine them if there isn't a law that they've broken. So they'll have to get to the bottom of that as well. So that's my report for today, Dave. A couple of big items for everyone to pay attention to and learn from. I'll kick it back to you. Have a great day.
Thanks so much, Alice. Really appreciate you taking time to record it. By the way, I did a lousy job of introducing Alice Alvey is CMB Vice President of Education and Training at our good friend Bill Cosgrove's company, Union Home Mortgage. Appreciate you, Alice, for turning in that report. So we appreciate our partnership with Knowledge Coop.
Hi, Nathan here from the Knowledge Coop. How are you at storytelling? You may have seen the J.J. Abrams TED Talk about this mystery box that he got. He tells the story of his grandfather giving him a gift, but he decided, for some reason, to never open it. To this day, it remains a mystery to him as to what's inside that box. When you are teaching your courses, how can you incorporate great storytelling and a mystery box into the lesson? See, that's what we strive to do here at the Knowledge Coop. So check out KnowledgeCoop.com for fun and easy training for the mortgage professionals, all video-based and all powered by a smart digital platform.
We're going to run over to Alan Pollack. Alan, how you doing, friend? What you got for this week's tech update?
I'm doing great. Thank you, David. And happy Father's Day to you and everybody else.
Yeah.
For me, it was a great day, but I'm hoping it was good for everyone as well.
Chris George has got, all these sons. You and I have daughters. And so we do a lot of things that are a little bit different than the George family. That's not the tech update. Get into the tech update. What you got for us, friend?
So a couple of interesting things. I don't know, for anyone that is friends with Curtis Knuth, he is the president and CEO of NCS, and he has been pushing for a long time an IRS modernization bill. He's been teamed up with many others. They refer to it as H.R. 3151, and so it just passed the House. It's going to hit the president's desk. It's been a 12-year-long, he called it in his post on LinkedIn, a 12-year-long slog to get this income validation instant. It's basically a technology modernization. Wow, I can't talk today.
Modernization.
There you go. Anyways, if your friend Curtis or folks at his company, you want to chat with them about it. Great news for those on that initiative. You know, Dave, a couple weeks ago, we brought up that the new IRLA, the 1003, was going to be available to work with the agencies to start testing those transactions. Well, a friend of mine just reminded me today, I thought it'd be kind of interesting. They have delayed that and they have not announced when. So initially it was you can start on July 1st, 2019. That has now been delayed. I'm going to make a wild guess and just assume that there's a lot of readiness that has to occur, as well as very important partners and database systems and technology and so forth. And so they've delayed that and a date is TBD.
Do you think that was one of the reasons for the delay was because I mean, they were ready. I'm fairly confident they were ready. I think it's more of the partner issues. What I was hearing is that what you're hearing now?
I haven't heard very much, but you know, I've been involved in so many technology projects that sometimes need to be delayed. It could be partners. It could be nothing more than some things failed testing. It could be anything. Yeah, hey, listen, it bought us more time. So if you're still working on those modernizations and you want to be an early bird as far as submitting those loans, you absolutely have a little bit more time on your hands. Also, David, Roostify, they've been in the news. We've been talking about them quite a bit. They just added e-signature technology with DocuTech. And, you know, it's important. It's important because it's just continuing to expand that single-threaded, that one experience for consumers. And if you remember, you know, we've mentioned this last time as well, J.P. Morgan, LendingTree, Guild Mortgage, and TD Bank are some of their clients. So this enables a lot of different folks and a lot of consumers to be part of that online e-signature experience. Now, get this one, Dave. Yeah. Citizens Bank unveils their new digital home buying and mortgage experience. And that's right. I said home buying. So you remember they acquired Franklin American. They've become a pretty big name in mortgage lending. Yeah. So now what they're doing is they're helping borrowers find that next house that they're looking for. So it's now an online shopping portal allowing consumers to search for listings across the country and tie that in with mortgage pricings and the entire, again, building that one streamlined experience. And their actual quote from Citizens Bank is a more streamlined buying experience. They did it in partnership with Home Story Real Estate Services. And by the way, this is actually the best part about it. They're offering qualifying customers as much as $6,500 in rewards for using the online portal. The more technology, the more data we have, the more streamlined experience, you know, the easier it is for us, because we're consumers as well, right? For us to be able to go through these different experiences. And on the point of sale topic, Blend also just completed a partnership and integration with Exos Technology. You remember back, I think it was the end of NBA National, we talked about that big giant Exos display they had. So what Blend has done is they've given consumers the ability to schedule real-time appraisals so that they remove a lot of that back and forth gap that it takes, you know, making the pipeline move a lot faster. But what's better is that it's available with thousands of appraisers, 50 different states. More importantly is you can select the exact time and it'll even tell you the name of the appraiser coming and a photo of them as well as the make and model of their car.
That's good.
Something to think about. You know, we've been talking about all this technology and development that we want to do on the front end. We want to enable consumers. Well, this was an article at Stratmore. I've been holding on to it for a few weeks because the other topics have been also interesting. This one's called Strategies for Mortgage Lenders to Maintain Profitability. And this is really, as you work with technology vendors, you want to think of different ways that you can help lower your overall costs. We've heard of many times, David, right? Death by a thousand cuts. And so I think this is pretty interesting. There's three points I pulled out of their article. You want to check it out. It's at their website. They're basically saying one is you want to move the traditional per-seat licensing model, if you can, by the way. You want to move that traditional per-seat licensing model to a per-close loan model. Vendors should be flexible in terms of minimum volumes and incorporate affordable levels into amended subscription agreements. So as you're creating your best new technology platform, think about the different technology partners, the type of transactions, the provisioning of users. Those are all very important points. And so if you can move things to a model that better supports you, you want to try and negotiate that. Stratmore's 2018 technology survey said that over 67% of all lenders who responded are paying subscription fees based on volume. So check it out. It's on their website. We can dive into it deeper another week. Excited for today's big hot topic.
Yeah, I am too. Very excited about it. Appreciate it, Alan. Good to have you with us,
friend.
Thanks for the tech update. Andy Schell, also known as the Prophet Doctor. Good to have you in the house. The doctor's in the house. Some words of wisdom.
Hi, Dave Licken. Well, I have lots of thoughts, many things on my mind. You know, first off, quick, funny side note. Scott always talks about the science of sales, and there is science behind sales. There's actually human behavioral design and studies that have been done. And like the guys that are economists have a doctorate in economics, and so they become an economic scientist or an economist. So my doctorate's in business, so I'm a business scientist or a businessist or a prophetist. And none of that sounds right, so that's why we stick with the Prophet Doctor. It's just easier.
It just works.
Well, so here we go, Dave. Last couple of weeks, we've been talking about leadership and strategy, management and measurement. And part of management and measurement is understanding financial statements. So today I'm going to talk about insolvency and fake money. We have lots of fake money in mortgage banking. We just don't know it. So accounting wants to count in on sale of an application. So when we take an application, that becomes our pipeline. And accounting wants to count the profit on the pipeline. And this pipeline profit's based on the gain on sale, and it does not count all the expenses it takes to make that into a loan. Because we know that only a small portion of this pipeline revenue is actually available to increase profit, because the firm has to spend money to make money. You have to spend money to process the loan, close the loan, pay the commission. There's a lot of cost to convert an application into a loan, and this pipeline profit doesn't really count that very well. So I was looking at this issue, and I'm actually doing a lot of study on it, and I did a quick non-statistical sample. So for all of those who have been listening to me in the past, that means this is not a validated study. But I did a quick non-statistical sample of IMB data, and I was really surprised to see, it actually scared me, and that's why I'm talking about this. Of the reports that I pulled, 50% of the company would have lost money last year except for the pipeline profit. So pipeline profit made them look profitable, but if you take out the pipeline profit, they lost money. And while this is, you know, okay for agency approval and so forth, it's bad for owners because you can't spend this money. So the fundamental challenge that I have with this accounting rule is that it overstates profit, and there's gap reasons behind why it does that. But owners believe that they're better off than they really are. So this technical term is called intangible revenue. So the pipeline profit is really called intangible revenue, and I call it fake money. Or you can call it funny money, but fake money. And so, like, if the auditor says there's $1 million in profit, but the profit is all from intangible revenue or fake money, then there's no cash. You can't spend it. You can't spend intangible revenue. Just like the MSR earnings for that year, you can't spend MSR profit recognition. It's fake money. You can't spend. It's not spendable. Not spendable revenue. So this actually, when you have profit with no cash, that's called insolvency. So we don't want that. That's a bad thing. That's when you think you've got money and you really don't. So this is an important issue. I'm personally invested in this because I think it's really bad that owners don't understand their financials. So this is really important, and we want people to know the truth. We want owners to understand their business and know their risk of insolvency because of this. So the best way for an owner to avoid this trick, to avoid getting tricked by fake money, is to run a simple test. So here's the test. It's really not that difficult. So here's all you got to do. You get your financials, get your audit, and you look at your audit, and in the audit, there's going to be a balance sheet and an income statement. On the balance sheet, there's going to be an asset account called a derivative asset. You look at that number, and you write it down. $1 million, write down $1 million. You look at your profit and loss statement, and if it says your profit was $1,500,000, you write that number down. You then subtract the derivative asset from the net income. And that way you can know what your real profit is. So you didn't make $1.5 million. You only made $500,000. This is closer to the real profit. Now, this is an insolvency risk measure that we're talking about, and we're actually publishing more information about this. So there are a lot of metrics and details that get associated with this to make this whole thing work, but this simple test will give you an idea. So I actually teach CFOs the details about how to really understand this and how to present to CEOs and owners the truth about their company. So there's lots of stories I have. I have a new story, too, I can tell. I have info on a new CPA land of rainbows and unicorns. So CPAs are creating a new land of rainbows and unicorns. Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, I'll tee it up real quick. So auditors want to justify counting all the pipeline profit. So what they've done is they've created the land of rainbows and unicorns, and it's called hypothetical combinations. Hypothetical business combinations is the fancy word for the land of rainbows and unicorns that auditors are using to justify counting all the pipeline profit when really it should be just a tiny bit. So you want to talk more about it, want to talk stories, want to understand more, send me an email. Happy to chat. One of my favorite topics, andy@mbs-team.com. Boom.
Appreciate it. Good job, Andy.
Thank you, Dave.
You always spin it out to get the information out in a way that just causes you to think about it. So I appreciate that. Good job.
You just heard an audio clip from Lickin' on Lending. And here are the sponsors that make this show possible.
Black Knight, Open Mortgage, Finastra, Resex, Warehouse Lending, a division of United Bank. So good to have them as our newest sponsor. The MBA, Lenders One, and the Mortgage Collaborative, the two co-ops in our advertising group, as well as Velma, Knowledge Coop, and Vidyard.